And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked a dear friend of the ministry. I met Ed through Texas radio programs, and we've chatted over the years, and I love having him on as a guest. My guest today is the author, Edward Hendry. Ed, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, you have a new book, and I want to talk about that, but the first thing that comes to my mind, because your book, Vaccine Danger, is so powerful and has so much information, the obvious question, and it's kind of a loaded question, Ed, but are vaccines really detrimental to our health?
Let's enter into that discussion. Vaccines actually are unavoidably unsafe. That's the reason that the pharmaceutical companies requested through the Vaccine National Injury Act, or I should say the National Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, that they requested and were granted immunity from civil liability because they argued successfully that their vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. That is, they cannot make the vaccine safe, and therefore they will injure people. And because their argument is that the vaccines are beneficial to so many people, that it's necessary that some people get harmed. Now, that is the religion of Moloch. That is, some people must be sacrificed for the good of the many. And so if you look at the statistics regarding the danger of vaccines, it is borne out that they are dangerous. So, for example, a randomized study published in 2018 by this guy named Peter Abey. Now, Peter Abey is a pro-vaccine doctor, and he received the Novo Nordisk Prize, the most important Danish award for health research. And he did a research study regarding the diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis vaccine. And in that study, he found that there was a twofold higher mortality rate for those children who were vaccinated with the DTP vaccine than those that were unvaccinated. Now, there's something really interesting about this study. This study was done in Africa, and it was found that most of the children who were not vaccinated were not vaccinated because they were too frail and unhealthy to be vaccinated. And so here we're comparing healthy children who are vaccinated with children who are so unhealthy, they said they won't tolerate a vaccine. And the mortality rate was double in the vaccinated group. Twice as many children died. And when they then reconfigured the study to compare healthy children against healthy children, they determined that five times as many healthy children died who got vaccinated as compared to healthy children who were unvaccinated. Five times, fivefold. Now, this information, by the way, was brought to the attention in 2017 to UNICEF. And UNICEF is a UN-funded agency, and they have spent about $1.6 billion in vaccine products. And this information was brought to their attention, and they still continued to promote and purchase the DTP vaccine. And that vaccine is used by, I think, about 40 countries throughout the world. Now, in the United States, they stopped using DTP And they went to DTAP. The A stands for a cellular pertussis. So it's, and that was supposed to be a safer vaccine in the United States. However, it's not safe. It's safer. It's not safe, and it's completely ineffective. So the, for example, only 11.9% of the children received the DTaP vaccine in 2008-2009 were protected from getting pertussis. So it was only 11.9% of the remainder got pertussis despite the fact that they got the vaccine. And now the infant mortality rate in the United States is the highest infant mortality rate amongst a group of 34 countries. And interestingly enough, it is the highest vaccine rate among the 34 countries that were studied. And when you're talking about sudden infant death syndrome, they have tracked that the sudden infant death syndrome is a result of vaccination. In fact, there's one case where this doctor, he studied 10 cases of twin SIDS, which means there's twins who died of sudden infant death syndrome. And it was each of those twins died shortly after receiving vaccines. So here we have a almost a perfect control experiment, where you have twins who are now injected with a vaccine, and within a very short period of time, they die. So the causal link between the vaccine and the SIDS is pretty clear when you're dealing with twins. Another interesting fact that came out even just during the recent COVID scam. So during the COVID-19 lockdowns, a lot of the children were not getting their well baby checked. And what they found that was that when children were not getting their well baby check, they weren't getting vaccinated. And interesting, the infant mortality rate went down. Fewer children died. It went from 700 deaths per week down to 500 deaths per week by mid-April of 2020. So there was a significant reduction in deaths when there were fewer children being vaccinated. Now, in Florida, infant vaccination decreased by 14%, which correlated directly with a drop in all-cause mortality for infants of 8.9%. So, now, the thing about vaccines is, take the COVID-19 vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccine, they inject the person with mRNA, okay, and what that does is it causes antibody-dependent enhancement. It causes the body to attack its own cells. And as a result, people actually got sicker from the vaccine. And what they did was they played a game with the statistics. So if somebody got sick from COVID-19 within 2 weeks of vaccination, they were counted as being unvaccinated. It's very strange. I know it's weird, okay, but that's how they did it. And that's how they ran the scam talking about how COVID was out of control and it's so dangerous, you got to get vaccinated. Well, the more they vaccinated, the more people got COVID. In fact, in some of the UK, the UK had very good statistics on this. And they determined that 86% of the COVID-19 deaths in UK were among those who were vaccinated against COVID-19. And those were statistics that were entered between April 2021 and December 31st of 2022. Now, a number of these governments, including the UK, when people started publishing these statistics, then they stopped keeping them. So they're trying to conceal the deadliness of the COVID vaccine. So in Vermont, for example, 76% of COVID-19 deaths in the state of Vermont during September 2021 were of persons who had received the COVID-19 vaccine. In Antwerp, Belgium, 100% of the hospitalized COVID cases were fully vaccinated persons. In Scotland, 89% of COVID-19 deaths were amongst the vaccinated. In Canada, 90% of the population that died from COVID-19 were vaccinated. And again, this brings us up to the antibody-dependent enhancement. That is, the COVID-19 vaccine was driving the illness. And the one signal that they can't conceal is the all-cause mortality rate. And they found that in a study in Europe, that a 1% increase in vaccination resulted in a 0.15% increase in mortality, all-cause mortality. And they found that across the board. That means that there's an increase of 10.5% death rate in those countries that vaccinated, amongst the vaccinated population. So when you're just looking at the vaccinated population, that population saw an increase of 10.5% of deaths. Now, during a war, you're typically looking at an increase of about 8.5%. So the kind of deaths you're looking at is the kind of death even that would exceed what you can expect during a war. And in Britain, they actually kept track, and according to quintiles of people in vaccination groups that depended, they kept the statistics depending on how wealthy the person was. So they had five categories of people from, they called it most deprived to most wealthy. And the wealthiest had the highest vaccination rate. What was interesting, and they had their vaccination rate was 93.0%. And what was interesting was the excess mortality, that is the mortality above what would be expected. And typically, any given country, it's right around 1% a year. Now, in the United States, it can be a little less than that. I think it's about 0.8% a year, maybe 0.9% a year, depending. But it's right around 1% a year. So if you have a excess mortality, that is a mortality rate greater than what has happened in the past, that means something significant has happened. Well, in this instance, they were able to correlate the excess mortality directly to the number of vaccines. So, for example, a very poor person only got vaccinated, only 79.4% of them were vaccinated, and the excess mortality rate amongst them was 7.85%. So it was much lower than 11.5% of the wealthy people, because more of the wealthy people were being vaccinated and they were dying at a greater rate. The Cleveland Clinic has done a study, and they concluded that the number of COVID-19 vaccines correlated directly with COVID-19. So the more vaccines, the more likely to get COVID-19. And now, not just talking about COVID-19, Cleveland Clinic did a recent study on the flu vaccine, and they found that the increase in vaccination for the flu correlated to a 26.9% greater likelihood of getting influenza. So those people who were vaccinated got influenza at a rate 26.9% greater than the unvaccinated group. So this is the kind of thing that we're seeing. And the CDC knows about this. Dr. Colleen Boyle, she's the director of National Center on Birth Defects and Development Disabilities, testified before Congress. And she said, we haven't studied the vaccinated group versus the unvaccinated group. And Robert Kennedy said, well, that's perjury. Because he knew of a study that they had done, and that study showed that there was 7.6 times greater autism among the vaccinated children than among the unvaccinated children. And that not just autism, but other illnesses. So, for example, sleep disorders, 5 times greater. Let's see, we have speech disorders, 2.1 times greater. And you go on, these health issues that children are having from, and it's caused by the vaccines, but then the CDC knows this. So what they did was they realized that study would show that vaccines were detrimental. So they took the study, they massaged the data, and they removed a lot of the data that reported the health of the unvaccinated children, and then they republished it with the massage data, and they were caught doing that. Now, this is another thing that most people don't realize. The long-term effects of vaccines is significant. There was a study where they compared unvaccinated adults with vaccinated adults. And in that study, they found that of the vaccinated group, 60% of the adults had some sort of chronic health condition as compared to 5.7% of the unvaccinated adults. And this is interesting. 6% of the vaccinated adults. Okay. Now this is, again, they're studying adults. Now they're no longer children. They've been vaccinated and now they're studying them many, many years after their vaccination and they're correlating. Okay. What is your health like? And then they have an unvaccinated group. And by the way, they're comparing this to government held statistics. So they're comparing it to national statistics for regarding the health of vaccinated adults compared to 1,482 unvaccinated adults. And they found that 6% of vaccinated adults end up with cancer, whereas 0% of the unvaccinated adults ended up with cancer. And then with regard to children, just the small children now, 0.35% end up in cancer. They're just beginning life, whereas it's, again, 0% of the unvaccinated. And then we have arthritis. 16.67% of adults who were vaccinated ended up with arthritis. 0% arthritis in the unvaccinated group. Heart disease. 48% of the vaccinated group end up with heart disease. 0% of the unvaccinated group end up with heart disease. So why is this? What is it that causes this damage? And we can get into that if you want, but I think we should first discuss the exemptions that people should be getting from these vaccines and why there've been many people have been unsuccessful.
You know, you mentioned SIDS. I had seen a report from Dell Bigtree on the causal effect of vaccines and sudden infant death syndrome. And anybody that paid attention during the scamdemic saw the number of athletes' prime physical condition that dropped dead instantly. And you mentioned the vaccine, the pharmaceuticals getting amnesty from ever being sued civilly. Now, there is a convoluted process that people can go through and try to get money from the big pharma, but it's not very beneficial. But
right.
When this was presented to Reagan, Reagan said, well, if they're bad, why are we doing this? And he still went ahead and signed it, but, you know, it just that idiocy, Ed, that
right.
We have been sown such a bill of goods that these jabs are good for us.
Right.
That it just flabbergasts me.
Right. And it's being driven by the love of money.
Oh, amen. Okay.
And these pharmaceutical companies, they are run by criminals. And that's not hyperbole. Take Merck, for example. Okay. Merck has been criminally prosecuted and found guilty, okay, of criminal fraud. And they had to pay $950 million for criminal fraud. And what did they do? They were selling a product called Vioxx to treat arthritis pain. But they knew that Vioxx would kill people. Okay. So the heart attacks in the Vioxx group was 400% greater than the heart attacks and the heart damage in the control group. So right at the beginning, they knew it would do that. And so they, what happened was they marketed it and it ended up causing 88,000 heart attacks and killing 38,000 people. Okay. 15 Pearl Harbors, all for the love of money.
Yeah.
And they ended up having to pay $4.8 billion in a settlement, in a class action settlement. In addition to being prosecuted, and I could go on and on. I could talk about Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. They're all doing the same thing. These people are criminals. They don't care that they harm you.
No,
and they will lie to you.
The love of money. You're right. But, you know, on a humorous side, Ed, I guess that Vioxx did cure arthritis because they were no longer in pain. I mean,
yeah,
that's a morbid joke, but
right.
That's the extent don't kid yourself. The CDC is in bed with Big Pharma. That was proven with Fauci and what went on with this scamdemic and trust the science and all this garbage. I mean, Dr. Anthony Wakefield just posed a question. Yeah. Are these jabs leading to autism? And he lost his license and he was just poo-pooed. But there was a whistleblower at the CDC that confirmed that they have studies. They just don't want you to know. They don't want us to know because it's so bad.
Well, you've heard about the recent study coming out of Henry Ford Hospital where they showed that they compared, because they have this massive population of people in their healthcare system. It's one of the largest, and I think it's the largest in Michigan, maybe one of the largest in the country. And they did a study and they determined significant health issues with the vaccinated group versus the unvaccinated group. And in fact, I believe with diabetes, they couldn't even compare. They couldn't give a statistical comparison because they didn't find any diabetes amongst the children that were not vaccinated. Mm. So, you know, that kind of thing is really significant. And that study, they tried to conceal. And the only reason it came out was because an attorney testifying before Congress revealed the study. And now it is, and by the way, there's a documentary which I recommend, and it's called The Inconvenient Study. Del Bigtree has got it. It's posted on the internet. I recommend it to all your listeners. You definitely want to watch that.
Del Bigtree, he exploded on the scene during the scamdemic, exposing so much of what Big Pharma was doing. He is doing an outstanding job.
And right.
You cannot go wrong by looking at what Del Bigtree is doing. Just do a search. And you're right. This video is tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, be careful. Be careful with putting too much trust in men, because Del Bigtree is not anti-vaccine and neither is Robert Kennedy.
True.
So what they are striving for is safe vaccines. See, and so what I'm telling you is that vaccines are inherently dangerous and evil, and they are something that no Christian should ever allow to be injected in their body. And I'll explain why if you want me to right now.
Now, your book, Vaccine Danger, is 1,100 pages. You've got this new book. We're not offering at this time through the ministry, but this is a big one. Get ready to write this down. The webpage is greatmountainpublishing.com. Greatmountainpublishing.com. Click on the books tab. The first book listed is entitled Vaccine Religious Exemption Essentials. Ed and I were talking before we came on the air. Would you buy a 2,000-page book with this information on religious exemption versus buying a book specific with case law and things in it to help you to apply for religious exemption from these jabs? This is a vitally important book that you need to get. And if you go to greatmountainpublishing.com, you can get it at a discount. It's cheaper than Amazon. This is something that is vital for your library. I understand why you did this, Ed. You've got some background information from Vaccine Danger in this book so that there is context, right?
Yes. So I'm a lawyer, and I have conferred with a lot of people and assisted people in getting exemptions. And in doing that, I've come to realize that there are some things that people need to know when seeking a religious exemption. And that was the purpose of this book. But one of the features of vaccines is that they're dangerous. And the second feature is they're ineffective. That danger and ineffectiveness is part and parcel of the religious exemption claim. And I'll explain that in just a minute. typically, when you're seeking a religious exemption, they don't allow the person seeking a religious exemption to make an argument that the vaccines are unsafe and ineffective. But that is actually part and parcel of a religious exemption argument, and you should be able to bring that information in. Rather than have to buy a 1,200-page book, okay, or 1,100-page book, Vaccine Danger, I took the information in that book regarding the ineffectiveness and danger of vaccines. I included it in the Vaccine Religious Exemption Essentials book to give it context so that when you're reading the arguments, you can understand, you know, where, and you can have authority for what you say when you're seeking a religious exemption. And you can show it to your lawyer, because there are some arguments which are simply not being made, which need to be made when seeking a religious exemption. And it's one of the reasons that some of the religious exemptions are not being approved. And so I should probably get into that right now, if it's okay with you, Jerry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Ed.
Okay. So let's talk about the what vaccines are and how they, what role they play in the world, and how a Christian should look at them. First thing you have to understand is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I'm quoting from Ephesians chapter 6. And one of the things that you want to do is you have to have the full armor of God. And part of the full armor of God is having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is the key. The devil is the father of lies. You cannot get into his arena and try to fight the devil by using lies. And the argument that vaccines are safe and effective is a lie, and that has to be refuted. Okay? And Paul told Timothy, you should avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. And that's what vaccination is. Okay? A doctor's first obligation is to do no harm, but they do harm with the vaccines. And you have to look at the history of vaccines to find out what's going on here. First of all, vaccination is not a medical treatment. It is a religious superstition. It started out as a religious superstition, and it's being portrayed as a medical treatment. But you have to say the emperor has no clothes. You have to reveal it for what it is in seeking your religious exemption. You're not seeking an exemption from a medical treatment. You're seeking a religious exemption from a religious ritual. Vaccination, okay, people trace vaccine to Dr. Edward Jenner, who was a quack doctor in the 1700s, okay? But it didn't start with Jenner. Now, Jenner was a quack, okay, but he took the Hindu belief in variolation, and he created this idea of vaccination. So what he did was he created this concept of inoculating people with cowpox, in order to give them immunity to smallpox. Now, smallpox and cowpox are not the same thing. They are two different illnesses. And he called his practice variola vaccinae, which is how we get the word vaccine, which means smallpox of the cow. Now, he seriously injured many children in his quack practice. But he lied. He created these false medical journals and created this fraud that touted the benefits of vaccination.
Okay, friends, we're going to have to take a brief pause. I hope you're enjoying my interview with Edward Hendry. We've got a whole lot more to cover on the other side. We're discussing a Christian's right for religious exemption from vaccines. We're going to take a brief pause. When I come back, Ed and I are going to jump right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Vaccine Danger, Quackery, and Sin. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I have to tell you about this outstanding book that Edward Hendry has put together for us. It is over 1,100 pages. This book will reveal the most significant medical fraud in history. The theory that you can prevent illness by injecting poisons into the bodies of healthy people is dangerous quackery and sin. All true science has proven the practice of vaccination to be ineffective and unsafe. But the medical establishment has been lured into the superstitious practice, hook, line, and sinker. It is not merely a matter of ignorance that the debilitating practice flourishes. It is, at its core, being promoted by those who know it is unsafe and ineffective. There is a malevolent spirit behind this practice. It is part of a conspiracy against God and man. Most doctors are probably unwitting, but some are willing minions of that old serpent, Satan, who are quite happy to kill people for profit. Jesus describes such men in John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 1,118 pages. This is a massive book, and it is full of vital information, given the backstory and everything on these dangerous jabs. We're only asking $44. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $50 for Vaccine Danger. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Vaccine Danger right there on the main page. Click on it. Put in your name, your address, your charge card, select your shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Edward Hendry. Let us continue with my interview.
Dr. Creighton, who was a well-known epidemiologist at the time, he was contracted to write the 9th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, and he did his research on it, and he concluded that smallpox of the cow was an arbitrary and untenable concept. In his study, he found that 50% increase in infant deaths from syphilis after compulsory vaccination were instituted in England in 1853, and that those mandatory vaccinations were instituted based on the quack research done by Edward Jenner. And by the way, Edward Jenner wasn't really the first. You can trace it even back to a farmer named Benjamin Jesty. But again, we're going to get into the Hindu origins in just a minute because that's where it all starts. So variolation was a means by which the Hindus would purport to create immunity to a disease. And the drug companies know about this because there's a 360-page document that was presented at the International Congress of Medicine lecture, and it involved memoranda from Burroughs Wellcome. It was a large pharmaceutical company that was absorbed into GlaxoSmithKline. And they explain in that document that inoculation, smallpox inoculation, began with this person named Dhanvantari, the Vedic father of medicine, in 1500 BC. And what they would do is the Brahmin would travel from town to town, and they were the high social class in Vedic Hinduism, and they had a magical force, and they would have people make Thanksgiving or Puja to their goddess, and the goddess was Sitala, the goddess of smallpox. And what they would do is they would scrape a pus from a person who was infected with smallpox, and they would put it in a cut in some person's hand to inoculate them, and then they would have them say prayers and make an offering, and of course the priest gets his cut of the action. There's always money involved. It started as a Hindu religious practice, and no Christian should have anything to do with Hindu religious practices or other heathen practices. In Ephesians 5:11, Paul tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay. Now, again, we talked about Edward Jenner, and he lived between 1749 and 1823. But even before Jenner, the Roman Catholic Church was engaging in vaccination in the indigenous population in the Amazon in the 1720s. And in fact, today, the Roman Catholic Church promotes vaccination as a moral imperative. It's an act of love, according to Pope Francis. And in fact, the Vatican mandated vaccines for their workers in the Vatican. And obviously, there's going to be no religious exemption allowed. That was the COVID-19 vaccine they mandated. Now, people have to understand that the danger of the vaccines and the ineffectiveness are features. And what they have to do is they have to conceal the danger of the vaccine. So they lie and they cheat in their studies. So, for example, when they do a study of a new vaccine, a new infant vaccine, they'll have one control group, but the control group, okay, will not get a placebo. All right. They will claim that it's a control group, but they're not actually getting a placebo. They're getting all the ingredients in the vaccine except for the antigen. And so all of the excipients, the poisons and everything that's in that vaccine are being injected into the control group. And then the other group gets the antigen. And so what they do is they compare the two, and let's say you have 8 children die in the control group, and let's say you have 8 children die in the other group, they'll say, oh, well, the vaccine is safe because the same number of children died in both. Okay, so there's equal risk, not letting it be known that, oh, they're both dangerous. The excipients in the vaccines are dangerous and killing the children. So the only difference is one has the antigen and the other does not. And then when they come out with a new vaccine, what they do is they test the new vaccine against the old vaccine. And they say, oh, well, the same number of children died in both, or maybe a few less, okay, or maybe a little bit more. But they say, oh, the risk is statistically insignificant. And there you go. Presto changeo, they have another approved vaccine. And that's one thing that Robert Kennedy has pointed out, is there's been no true placebo control groups in any of these children vaccine trials. because if they ever did one, they could never get a vaccine approved. And by the way, when you're talking about vaccines, there's a, typically they you have the antigen, and then you have the toxic excipients, which are along with the antigen. And here's the problem. A lot of these excipients, the excipients in the vaccines have protein in them, food proteins. And what happens is, as part of the excipient, they have what is known as an adjuvant, which stimulates the immune system of the body. In past, they've used mercury. They still use mercury in some of the adult vaccines, but they've taken it out of the children's vaccines, but they replaced it with something that's just as bad, aluminum. These heavy metals are neurotoxic, which is why you end up with the ADHD and all of the emotional issues with children because of the aluminum, the heavy metals that they have that stimulate the immune system. And when they stimulate the immune system, it causes the immune system to now respond to everything that's being injected, including the food proteins. And that's why we have this explosion, okay, in food allergies, because they're responding to the oils and eggs and milk that's in the protein. So they use casein, they use other things to create the antigen, and there's these contaminants which they can't get out, okay? And so it creates this allergic reaction once the person starts eating ordinary food. So we have all kinds of peanut allergies, milk allergies, because of the allergic reaction to the excipients that are in the protein, in the vaccines. Now, vaccines are, by their nature, they are ineffective. And take the COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she admitted, okay, that they don't prevent transmission. She came out and admitted that. But they kept, you know, Joe Biden came out and said vaccines are safe and highly effective, okay? But even the Pfizer CEO, before they even got the EAU for their vaccine, he said he was not certain that their COVID-19 shot would prevent vaccinated people from spreading the virus. And by the way, it turns out that, in fact, as I mentioned earlier, the vaccine was ineffective. There was a briefing before Congress indicating 35,000 symptomatic breakthroughs of cases each week in the U.S. And what is a symptomatic breakthrough case is a case where a person has been vaccinated, but yet they get COVID-19 anyway. Okay. And what we're looking at here is antibody dependent enhancement. That is, the vaccine is driving the illness. And they're concealing that fact by saying, oh, it's a breakthrough illness. Now, Robert Kennedy, he's come out and he's now said, he's on public record, he's the director of HHS, he said basically the COVID-19 vaccines do not work. They do not work. He pulled $500 million in research studies for future mRNA vaccines, but that's only the $500 million. There's a lot more that is being invested in future other mRNA vaccines, so he hasn't pulled at all. So don't get your hopes up too much. And by the way, when he made that statement, he also, along with that, gave a link to studies, 70 peer-reviewed studies cited by HHS, peer-reviewed studies that mRNA vaccines were ineffective and that they actually exacerbated the COVID-19 alleged pandemic. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is that when they go to the doctor, they're not getting the straight scoop from those doctors. See, doctors, the pediatricians, they get a bounty for every vaccinated child. So they're getting this oftentimes from the insurance company. So this was revealed a couple of years ago that the bounty amounts to about $400 per child. And they have to keep their vaccination rate in the population of children in their practice above a certain level. If it's above a certain level, then they get a bounty for every percentage above that and they get a large bounty for all the children that are vaccinated. If their vaccination level drops below, and in this case, Blue Cross Blue Shield had it at 63%, if it drops below that, they get zero. So they are incentivized to having as many vaccinated children in their practice. And by the way, this is not small change. These statistics are from 3 or 4 years ago, and it came out to between $53,000 and $84,000 per year per doctor for the vaccine bounty. So they're making money on this. Now let's talk about the constitutional claims. So when somebody shows up and they're now litigating their constitutional claim, a lot of times they have two strikes against them because they are not attacking the legitimacy of vaccination. They rather than arguing that this vaccination is a religious practice that has no efficacy and is dangerous, they argue they accept that it's efficacious, they accept that it's safe, and now they say, but I want a religious exemption for this vaccine. That's not the position they should be coming to court with. They should be coming to court with saying, hey, the emperor has no clothes. This is a religious practice. It is ineffective. It is dangerous. And that's part and parcel of the fact it's based on a religious superstition. And it violates my religion because under Christianity, it is a sin to do evil that good may come about. Because the whole philosophy behind vaccines is that some may die, some may be injured, but we have to do that for the good of the many. Okay? So you inject evil. See, vaccines are the only medical treatment where you take somebody who is well and you inject them with a poison in the hopes that they will be able to fight off that poison and gain immunity. So instead of taking somebody sick and try to make them well, you take somebody well and try to make them sick. It's backwards. It's to do evil that good may come about. To do evil that good may come about, in Romans 3:18, God admonishes against that. We should not be doing evil that good may come about. That is not something that man should be doing. With regard to the claims that a person can make, a lot of times they end up with people will cite the Jacobson case, and I don't want to bore people with a legal analysis, but Jacobson is really hanging by a thread as far as precedent goes. And what people want to do, especially with regard to schools, a lot of times they'll come to court and they'll argue religious freedom. That's great. But they're making the argument for religious freedom against a medical treatment. What you really should be doing is making an argument against the government's establishment of religion. That is, they're imposing a religious practice on you, and you want freedom from that imposition. And that the government should not be imposing a religious practice on you, vaccination. It is a religious practice. And in fact, if you look at how it's treated, And the fact that you doctors cannot even speak against it, it's a religious superstition. It's treated like a religious superstition. It's religious dogma. If a doctor speaks out against the dogma, he will be stripped of his license. In fact, the AMA has made it an ethical violation for a doctor to recommend against vaccination. Now they use inoculation, okay, but what they mean is vaccination. So, yeah, it's a dirty game. It's a dirty game. And when people come to court, they should be asserting that they want an exemption, not from a medical treatment, but from a religious, superstitious practice, and that it's unsafe and that it does not work. Because if you come to court claiming that you want an exemption from a medical practice, What the court will do is take judicial notice, and I've seen it time and time again in these cases, of the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. So right away, you have two strikes against you. Now, here's another thing people should be aware of. You should avoid basing your religious exemption on any adherence to some particular sect, whether it's Christian Science or Roman Catholicism or Lutheranism, it doesn't matter. Because what they will do is they will then search out the authorities of that religion and then confront you with the fact that the authorities in that religion say, hey, we don't object to vaccines. Vaccines is not against our religious ethic. And I have seen that happen time and time again with the Roman Catholic Church, with Christian Scientists. So do not base your religious exemption on any particular sect. You base it on the Word of God, God's Word, okay? And by the way, once you state, all right, that you have a sincerely held religious belief, and under your sincerely held religious belief, you have an objection to being vaccinated, a court is incompetent to examine your religious belief. They can't look at it and say, well, that makes no sense. They can't look at it and say, well, yeah, but the religious leader, your Pope, says it's an obligation, it's an act of love. They can't do that. Even if you're a Roman Catholic, you're allowed to disagree with your religious leaders. You're allowed to have a personal religious belief. Okay? But by the way, why even go down that road? Just avoid that. Identify yourself as a Christian and under your Christian beliefs, and the court is incompetent because the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law establishing a religion. And so the court cannot question the legitimacy of your religious beliefs. They have to take it for granted, and you go from there. And with that, they have to examine your claim under strict scrutiny, okay? Which means they have to use the least restrictive means, okay, in order to accomplish their goal. And they can't use the least restrictive means and violate your religious beliefs if they allow a medical exemption. Because if they allow a medical exemption, they must allow a religious exemption under the Constitution. So understand this. A person who has a medical exemption from a vaccine is just as much a threat to all the children in the school as somebody who has a religious exemption. And so, therefore, they cannot deny religious exemptions if they allow medical exemptions. And this came up in a case involving Mississippi, where Mississippi forbade religious exemptions. And the Court of Appeals, the Federal Court of Appeals, said you can't do that. And by the way, California does that very same thing. And by the way, they're probably going to lose that, too. You can't do that. All right? That's a constitutional issue.
You know, most people don't realize. They think First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. They don't understand that it prohibits the government from establishing a religion. And the fact that you brought that up, if you go in with the proper tools, and that's why this book is so important, it educates you. You know, they say ignorance is no excuse. And you're not exempt from the law, even if you don't know it. But by arming yourself with knowledge, that's the key. You got to know what your rights are before you step foot in the courtroom, before you talk to a lawyer. And you were talking about all of the vaccines that the children are taking. I know when I was a kid, I think we got 5 or 6. And now it's 70, 80, 100. There's no wonder that our children are sicker, that cancer is more prevalent, that ADHD and food allergies are more prevalent. It just, there's your proof that these vaccines or jabs are poison. And you mentioned Thimerosal was used way back in my day Now they use aluminum. Anything, I mean, these metals are so poisonous that they banned lead because it's poisonous. They banned asbestos because it's a carcinogen. But the CDC knows that these additives in these jabs are so bad for you. But everything comes back to what you said at the beginning, Ed. The love of money is the root of all evil. And by getting this book, it will help people understand the different legal standards when they're litigating their religious exemptions. And you have to know that it's not a medical treatment, but it's a religious superstition.
Right.
Now, before we got a couple minutes left, but how do you differentiate between a good doctor and a quack? How can we search those out? Because there's not very many of them out there, Ed.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you, I know a number of people that I've spoken to in the not too distant past who had a hard time finding pediatricians who will not vaccinate. They literally, I know somebody who had a child 3 years ago, and literally the doctor's office said, if you're not going to vaccinate your child, find another doctor. Those are quack doctors. And by the way, these pediatricians, if they've been in practice any length of time, they see what the vaccines are doing to children. They're not stupid people. Okay, they know. And in one case, I think this couple had to call 10 to 15 doctors before they finally found a doctor who would allow them to not have their child vaccinated. So people who've had their children vaccinated and now realize late that it was a mistake, and I get that. So there are ways to God has all kinds of ways to heal people. So you can have chelation therapy. So a lot of children have been helped by chelation therapy, and that extracts the heavy metals from the children. With COVID-19, there's a treatment now called, it's called augmented NAC. Okay, that's N-acetylcysteine. And N-acetylcysteine is a natural chemical that detoxifies the body. And it's been successful in treating COVID-19. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm a lawyer. So go see your doctor. Talk to your doctor about it. As long as your doctor's not a quack. All right. So, but I can tell you right now, vaccination is without question quackery.
Amen. You know, the only thing I can think of when you talk about it, and we think about all the jabs that our children are subjected to, all we're doing is making lifelong patients for Big Pharma, lifelong customers.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because when it was revealed that the COVID-19 vaccine, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, was causing myocarditis of the heart, they actually went out and they purchased a company that had drugs in their pipeline addressing myocarditis. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Chasing the dollar. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Well, yeah. Ed, we have flown through an hour, brother. I want to thank you so much for doing your due diligence, putting this book together, and putting it out there for the layperson to arm themselves with knowledge. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, buddy. I appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Take care. Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest has been Edward Hendry. You need to go to greatmountainpublishing.com, get his new book, and you will be blessed with the information. We want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.